Hello, PMP. This is take two on the Q&A. If you guys will let me know this time if you have sound. Okay, somebody's coming in. Y'all let me know if you can hear me this time, okay? Yes, good, okay. I'm sorry about that. Facebook has just been totally weird the past couple of days. Somebody was saying last night we actually had to do the race Q&A on Zoom because we couldn't get Facebook Live to work. So as you guys come in, I wanted to talk a minute, just for a minute this morning, about time. And I wanted to shout out my girls in the January 2 day, Lisa, I think it was, who told me that time is my biggest asset. And that really spoke, it struck a nerve for me because, you know, I was in the camp where you could always create time and stuff. And what I learned that day was that you really can't create time. You have time. You have 24 hours a day. What you can create is how you choose to use your time, right? So, you know, we always talk about a plan only takes 5 minutes. And that's true. A plan does only take 5 minutes. But you have to move into action to actually do the plan and to actually use your 5 minutes in that way. So I've been just thinking a lot about, time. Betsy, I am back on. Betsy's going to feed me questions today. Let's go tell her. So I've been thinking a lot about time, and I saw a post in the newbie group, and y'all just give me a thumbs up if this resonates with anybody. She said she hated that she had wasted so much time her first 48 years without losing weight until she found the group. And I thought, you know, I had that thought. When I started, when I was 47 years old, I had the thought, I've wasted all this time. I've spent 47 years unhealthy, not being able to move, hurt knees, overeating, you know, stress eating and all that. And then Corinne coached me. And y'all know what happens when Corinne coaches you, right? You get this like big, huge light bulb moment. And she said, what if you just stop worrying about the past 48 years or 47 years and worry about today? Because what you do is you waste time worrying about all the time you've wasted, right? And I thought, oh, wow, that really makes a lot of sense. So as you think about what you have to do today, don't, you know, make your list, but don't spend a lot of time worried about whether or not you're going to have time to do all the things that you want to do. Just move into action and start using your time. Think about your time, like Lisa told me, as your biggest asset, your most valuable asset. And when you use your time in that way and think about your time in that way, things just get a whole lot better. So okay, so we're going to do Q&A. I'm sorry for the, we got a little bit of confusion going on here. We're going to do some Q&A. I'm glad you can hear me. Betsy is going to send me questions. Make sure you use hashtag ask. I'm scrolling right now to see everybody. Hi, everybody. It's so nice to see everybody this morning. So tell me what kind of questions you have today. And don't you love, let me see if I can get out of the way, my Chelsea picture. The transformation, the art of becoming is what it was named. I'm trying to get out of the way here because you see the dark side and how it gets lighter through the middle and then really light through in the beginning. I understand that Miss Jerry Perry named it, and I just feel so much love and gratitude every time I see it. So anyway, that's all about that. So let's see if we have any questions yet. I don't have any questions. You guys must have all the answers today, right? You have all the answers today. So My time today is all blocked. We've started talking about time. I have some projects to do. I have some coaching to do. I'm just working and loving life. All right, here's Daria. I need to know the difference between a model and a thought download. So TDL is thought download. So the TDL part is what comes first. That's the journal entry. That's the, it's like when you just write what you're thinking about. And it can be a very long paragraph. It can be a short paragraph. It can be a list. It's basically taking everything that you're thinking about in your head and writing it down on a piece of paper. It's like your dear diary, okay? So a lot of times with a thought download, I will start by asking myself, what am I thinking? Okay, or I can a lot of times identify my feelings and I'll say, you know, why am I feeling sad today? And I just write. And sometimes the beautiful thing about a thought download is sometimes you start by answering the question, but then you go off on a tangent and you end up in a grocery list or a things to do list or answering a question you didn't know you had or asking yourself another question. So it's basically, Daria, the dear diary journal entry that you write, just stream of consciousness. You just write whatever's in your head. The model is the CTFAR that you see us coaches use on coaching calls or you see in the Facebook group sometimes. And that's basically taking one sentence out of your thought download and putting it in that T line and then asking yourself, how does that sentence, that thought, make me feel? How and what do I do when I feel that way? And what results do I create when I do those actions? So that CTFAR basically takes a diagrammed picture of how your thoughts work all the way down into that result line. So the model is an interesting tool to use. We don't require it. I use it. I like it, but I've used it a long time. The most important thing for you to do right now, though, is to do your thought downloads and then go back and look at them again so that you can see what you're thinking. So that, you know, it's interesting to me sometimes when I reread my thought downloads and I say, wow, I really tell myself that. Or, well, you know, that thought sounds really good. Maybe I should use that one today. Okay, so that's the difference, you know, between a thought download and a model. The most important part is doing those thought downloads, especially in times where you want to know what you're thinking. Like if you just had an overeat, or if you have a real urge to overeat, or if you go past your plus two, that's when you want to do a thought download. So you can figure out what those thoughts are that actually lead to those urgent feelings that create the overeats. Okay, I hope that explains it. Melanie, so fell off the wagon, went out of town, about 5 pounds. Just start back at the basics. Huge mental BS game in my head. Yeah, just go back to the basics. Make your plan for the day. In fact, I don't know what time zone you're in, but if you've already had breakfast, make your plan for the rest of the day. Go ahead and start making your decisions ahead of time and show yourself that you get right back on the plan, right back into those basics after you spend some time off the wagon. You know, it's such an interesting thing we tell ourselves when we say we're off the wagon. We're just not on plan, and it's not a big deal. It's just worth examining. It's just worth going back and looking at and saying, you know, I know I ate off plan. I'm curious about why. And I'm also willing and committed enough to myself to get back on plan today and to look at it and see what I can learn. You know, I think we talk about on these podcasts all the time, and I hear Corinne say all the time, every overeat is an opportunity to learn. Okay? And you're just learning about yourself and your tendencies and your habits. Not so that you can beat yourself up, but so that you can come back in and decide what you want to change, what you want to work on, what you want to level up. Okay. January baby, still having trouble with 2 to 2 help. Okay, Kathy. So here's the nuts and bolts on how I find my twos. My minus two is, just that empty feeling. You know, I'm not ravenous. I'm not starving to death. I don't have any of those thoughts. I'm like, oh gosh, I think I'm hungry, you know? And then I wait for just a minute to make sure. And I ask myself, you know, would something healthy satisfy this hunger? So I just look at minus two as you know, I'm physically hungry. I feel the emptiness in my stomach. I actually feel it in my throat too. And I feel it in my breath. I can breathe deeply when I'm at minus two. But if you're asking about waiting until minus two, then that's just a conversation you have in your head. You know, you just ask yourself, am I physically hungry or do I just want to eat right now? And then on the plus two side, it's funny. If you really, really pay attention, you'll have a thought fly through that'll say, I wonder if that's enough. Okay. And if you're asking yourself, I wonder if that's enough, you should pause. Okay. And take 10 minutes and say, and ask yourself, you know, hear the conversation in your head. If there's a negotiation going on saying, I don't know if that's enough, I really would like to eat some more, then you probably need to really pay attention and do a body scan about and look at how does my stomach feel? You know, am I still having growls? Should I just wait a minute and see if my food that I just swallowed makes it to my stomach and if I have plus two? You know, just really think. You know, add your brain to the conversation of hunger. Okay. That's a little bit different. You know, we always talk about the physical symptoms, but if you add your brain and you add a little bit of conversation to it, it makes the whole hunger thing just a little bit more interesting. So when you think, when you have that thought, I wonder if that's enough, push the plate away for 10 minutes and think about how your body feels. Okay. And then listen to those thoughts in your head, like, that wasn't enough. I really like this. I should have more. Listen to those thoughts and see if they're really triggering hunger or if they're just justifications to eat some more. Deanna says, I'm still a little confused about the protocol. Is it just a list of foods we eat or more like some rules we set for ourselves? Deanna, it can be both. A food protocol is definitely the list of foods you are choosing to include in your plans. So be careful about foods we can eat, okay? Because that, you know, that doesn't, to me, that doesn't feel really good because I can put anything I want on my protocol, all right? I get to decide what feels good in my body and what foods lead me to weight loss or to maintenance, okay? Cheesecake, I love to eat, but it's not on my protocol. It's an exception food. Bacon, on the other hand, is on my protocol. All right. But I don't eat it, you know, 14 slices every day. So your protocol, your food protocol is your list of foods that you allow yourself to put on your plan without creating an exception for. All right. And those are always the foods that you know feel good to you. Bread is not on my protocol because bread doesn't feel good in my body. Bread might be fine for you. I've heard Corinne say that bread's fine for her. She loves her Subway, right? So everybody's protocol is going to be just a little bit different because it's going to be based on what you know you like to eat and feels good in your body. That's the food part of the protocol. You can also write your own set of constraints, food constraints on your protocol. Let's say Coach Betsy's might say she doesn't snack. Coach Mary Jo's might say she only drinks wine once a week. You know, there's going to be different things like that. Those guidelines that you set for yourself so that you set yourself up to lose weight, that can also be on your protocol. Okay. An example of a guideline I use might be, I don't eat after dinner. That's a hard and fast one for me. I don't. I mean, I eat dinner to my two and then the kitchen's closed. So yes, the answer is both can be part of your protocol. All right. Kimberly, in the diet beliefs module, how do I know if I'm gutting it right? That's a really great question, Kimberly. And I don't know the answer. I don't know the term gutting it. I'm going to have to go back and look. So Betsy, if you know the answer and you want to type it in here, I would be happy to read the answer, gutting it right. I'm coming back to that, Kimberly. Olga says, joined in January, have lost 8.8 since joining, 11 more to go. I'm on day 77 with 37 recovery worksheets. Is this normal to have this many recovery worksheets? Absolutely. Absolutely. Normal, you know, normal is a relative term. Okay. I love that you have 37 recovery worksheets. That means you're paying attention. Okay. That means you are analyzing every time you eat off plan or every time you eat past year two. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, I think it's Jen Saya has like hundreds of them. Okay. And there are other girls in the tribe I know that keep stacks of recovery worksheets on their kitchen counter and they just go right to them, you know, every time they have an overeat. I think it's a beautiful thing that you're doing that. I'm curious to know what you're learning. You know, are you going back and looking at your recovery worksheets and are you finding trends? Are you learning from them or are you just doing them? Because that's the key. If you go back and look at them and you see that maybe half the times you do one, your overeat is triggered by one thought, like maybe a thought like this tastes so good, or a thought like, I don't really know, you know, whether or not I've had enough to eat or something like that. Go back and look and see what kind of thoughts are triggering your overeats. Mary, just wondering about your thoughts on stalls. If you experienced any as you were coming up to goal, I'm getting a little frustrated as my weight has only moved down by 1 pound, staying between 180 and 178 for literally 2 months. I do my 24-hour plan every day, never eat off plan, and am in a strong mindset. I'm just getting a little frustrated that maybe my body doesn't want to go any lower. Do you have any suggestions? I'm down 127 already. Wow! In 19 months, and I have 28 pounds to my goal of 150. Stalls happen. It's your body doing a readjust. You know, your body has lost a lot of weight, and that's fantastic. It has hit 178 to 150 now and is going, it is, you know, it sounds like you're maintaining, which means you are likely eating to maintain. You could be setting yourself up for a big, you know, weight dump, but it's been 2 months, so you probably need to go back and reevaluate your hunger scale. That would be my suggestion. take a really, really good look at your plus two. In fact, one of the things I like to tell people to do is to serve up the normal amount of food that you would for a meal and eat half and wait 10 minutes and then do a body scan. You know, if you've already lost 127 pounds, you know how to do that, right? You know how to look for your plus two with new eyes. If you're not at plus two yet after that half, then eat half again and wait 10 minutes and do a body scan. Because it's going to take at least 10 minutes for the food to leave your mouth after you've swallowed it and hit your stomach. Okay, so you might be going to a 2.5 or 2.75. Or 3, thinking it's a 2. So really look at that. Readjust, recalibrate. I love the word recalibrate your hunger scale and see if maybe your plus 2 has changed. You also might try, Mary, changing up your food. You know, using a different kind of fat, different kind of protein, things like that. If you're used to eating the same things week after week after week, your body gets lazy. It gets to anticipating what it's going to process, and it processes it more easily. So you might change things up a little bit. You might add, you know, for breakfast, if you're eating breakfast, you might just do protein only, like, you know, eggs and a piece of bacon or something like that. Or you might do that at night. Just change things up and see if you can wake your body up a little bit and get it out of lazy mode. If none of that helps after a week or two, hit us up and ask coaches or on office hours. And we'll actually go through it in more detail with you, okay? Let's see, back up to Kimberly, in the diet beliefs module, how do I know if I'm gutting it right? And she's, okay, gutting your old diet beliefs. Okay, so what that means is that you're actually looking at your diet mentality, your diet rules. I would write down everything you think you have to do to lose weight. Okay, and then go back and ask yourself, is that true on each one? So let's say one of the things you write down is that you have to restrict yourself from eating sweets. Okay, is that true? Or is that just an old diet belief? Right? I eat sweets. I plan them. I eat them. I don't eat them very often, but I'm telling you, I'm getting ready to bake a bunch of cookies because my brother and his family is coming to visit this weekend. And so I'm going to bake my favorite cookies and I'm going to plan them. And I'm okay with that because it's not an everyday thing. It's an exception. And it's a, you know, it's something I choose to share with my family. So restricting myself from eating sweets, you know, I would mark off the diet mentality list, you know, because it's not true. You can plan anything you want as an exception. You can put anything you want on your food protocol as long as it's creating, those things are creating the results that you want. So that's what I would do. I would write down all of those things you think are part of your diet mentality and go back through and really ask yourself. You can thought download each one. Say, is this true? Based on what PMP teaches me and what I know about the hunger scale and the 24-hour plan and the exceptions, is this really something that's true in my, you know, in my diet mentality? That's what I would do with that. So that's, thank you for clarifying that, Betsy. Okay. So if that, that doesn't answer your question, like I said, hit us up and ask coaches. Christy, should I do the new recovery worksheets for off-plan drink or should I do the sheet in the mastering drinking? I'd make it easy and just use the new worksheets. Use it anytime you overeat, overdrink, overconsume anything. I would just use the new worksheets. We probably need to go back through the mastering drinking program and put the new worksheets in it. See if the new worksheets need to go in there. So I'll make a note of that and we'll look at that. Carol, back to what you said, kitchen closed after dinner. Does that mean no dessert or movie/TV snack, popcorn, for example? It does for me, Carol, but if that's part of your plan and you're hungry for it, if you plan an exception for it, then there's nothing wrong with it. That's just my protocol. You know, everybody's protocol is a little bit different. If you are having popcorn, for example, as an after dinner snack, I would sure make sure I was hungry. You know, I'd follow that hunger scale. I'd eat it to +2. And I'd be very careful because it's real easy to fog eat popcorn while you're watching a movie. You know, you look down, the popcorn's gone. First of all, you didn't taste it. Second of all, you probably overate. So watch that, okay? Be real intentional with your popcorn movie eating. Lisa, with regard to the goal circles, what is the best practice for tracking the time? For example, is my 1 month goal 1 month from today or the beginning of the calendar month? You have tips for measuring and tracking progress. All right, Lisa. I think you're overthinking it a little bit because I think you get to decide. All right. It would be really easy to me to say, you know, my March goals are this and I measure them for the month of March. But you can also reassess your goals every week and reset them every week. If that's confusing to you, then just use a month at a time and say, you know, at the four circles at the bottom, let's say you want to lose 4 pounds in March. So your weekly goal is 1 pound. These are the, you know, these are the, your daily goal might be to follow the four basics. And these are the actions that you're going to take to make the goal, right? And it could be the four basics. It could be being real intentional. It could be thinking before I eat. You know, you could write down, you could blow out those actions in a lot of ways, right? You could say, I don't know. Talk to myself, have a good conversation with myself about my food. You could say, shut down all the negative self-talk. You could say all kinds of things. So I would pick whatever's easiest for you. And, you know, easy for me is going to be to look at the month as a whole. So at the beginning of March, this is the goal I set. Now, if you haven't done that, it's March, what, 14th? Pi Day, right? You can say my goal for the rest of the month is, or you can set the goal from today into the middle of April. It's really what makes the most sense to you. That's what, you know, that's what's beautiful about PMP is that you get to decide how to apply the program in the best way for you. We actually talk about this on, looking at my notes here, this week's podcast, building a system for yourself that works for you. You take all these tools and we give you no BS, right? And we tell you this is how we would apply them. And then you take no BS and apply it to your life, right? So with our help, when you need it, you create the system, the protocol, you know, the times you do the worksheets, all that within your own plan, and you apply the parts of the plan to your life that are the most important to you in the moment, the ones that you can accomplish. You don't want to take everything and throw it all in because you might not do everything. But if you're just focused on the four basics, that's all you really have to do, and then everything else is bonus work. Carol, how do I break the OMG? Something new is in the house. I need to eat it right away. That's a thought. You break it by saying, okay, there's that thought, right? Yesterday, an order I made arrived from QVC. I knew I should have waited until today, but I ripped open the box and ate a bunch. Chocolate-covered fruit. It was not fog. I knew, would this be storm? Yeah, it would be storm because it was preceded by the, oh my gosh, there's something new in the house thought that created, I'm not sure what feeling. It was an urgent, you know, urge. So it could be feeling of urgent, could be excited, you know, whatever it was for you, whatever that feeling is. And a storm eat is an emotionally charged eat. So how do you break that? You answer that thought. Okay. So let's practice. You have the thought, oh my gosh, there's something new in the house. I have to eat it right away. Okay. So you might answer it with, no, everything's fine. There's nothing crazy going on here. I can plan some of this for today and then tomorrow and then the next day. And I don't have to eat it all right now. Think of it like the devil and the angel on your shoulder. Okay. Do you remember those old cartoons? Maybe it's Fred Flintstone, right? That had the two voices on his shoulder. I always picture him when I talk about this. That devil is over here saying, look, we have all this new food in the house. It's delicious. You ordered it. It's chocolate covered fruit. We should eat some. And the angel is over here saying, yes, you ordered it and you can plan it for tomorrow and it's not going anywhere. It's going to stay right here and it's not going to be eaten out from under you. And even if it is, we can order some more. It's fine. Everything is going to be okay. You can even think of it if you want as, my voice, you know, my calm, melodious tones on your shoulder going, Carol, that fruit is not going anywhere. Everything is going to be okay. You know, if you planned it, have a little bit today, but definitely plan some for tomorrow because you know you'll enjoy it more when you've planned it and you're looking forward to it. You know, so let's just set it aside. You know, so basically, you have that conversation in your head. You allow the conversation. You initiate the conversation. You know, when that voice is all in your ear going, blah, 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 fruit, fruit, fruit. You go, I see you. Yep, the fruit's here. We're going to have a little bit tomorrow. Okay, so that's how you change it. You have the conversation in your head and you pay attention to the voice you choose to pay attention to. Okay, does that make sense? Angela, I'm having a hard time eating only when hungry. I'm a January baby and I still eat because it's time. Oh, Angela, I feel you, girl. I had to do a lot of work around eating by the clock. And it's not comfortable. I get you. At first, I was like, it's 12, it's lunchtime. And it was almost like I could cue up my stomach juices. My bigger one, though, was 3 o'clock snack. I had to sit through a lot of 3 o'clock hour snacks, talking to myself saying, you're really not hungry. You're really not hungry yet. It's okay that you don't eat. You know, I had to create a big list of power thoughts that helped me through that snack time. I'm happy to say that I finally got through it, but it took some work, and it took a lot of talking to myself and a lot of encouraging myself that I could get through it, that I could kick the habit of eating by the clock. So I would just ask myself over and over, am I really hungry right now? You know, what am I hungry for? You know, it's okay. I tell myself it's okay not to eat right now. It's okay to wait for hunger. And maybe even add, this is how I lose weight, by waiting until actual hunger to start my meal. So it's all, you know, again, it's that conversation in your head. It's those things that you tell yourself that keep you, you know, on plan, that keep you encouraged, that you can commit, that you can wait for hunger, that you can be your own best friend when it comes to what you eat and when you eat it. Jill, I'm having a hard time identifying my thoughts/feelings related to sweets. I will literally just want something sweet and eat it, usually not past my 2, but often not on my plan. I've been considering just planning a little treat each day. It seems less tempting if it's on my plan. I often won't even choose to have it if that's on my plan. What is that? Scarcity mindset or nothing or something? No, it's not scarcity mindset. Here's what it is. It's taking the choice to eat something sweet out of the reactive part of your brain and putting it in the decision-making part. You know, we've talked about off and on the 2 different parts of your brain. You have that prefrontal cortex. It's very logical. It's very decisive. It's kind of slow moving, you know, but it's very thought oriented. And then you have this back part of your brain that's very reactionary. It reacts to emotion. It reacts to situations. It's like fight or flight. You know, it's very spontaneous, very habit driven. Okay. So what you've done by planning your sweet is you've taken it out of the reactionary part of your brain and put it in the decision-making part. So you've planned it ahead of time. You know it's on the plan. Then once you get to the time when you decide whether or not you're going to eat it, you're not reacting anymore. You're deciding. And that decision feels good. It feels empowering. So the fact that you've put it on the plan and you've decided not to eat it is just a beautiful thing. It's just exactly what we want it to, what we want you to do, and why we plan realistically. So, and that's why we plan exceptions too, you know, because if we're reacting by eating cheesecake every day, we're not really enjoying the cheesecake. We're just reacting to whatever's going on every day. Instead of going, you know, I think I'll eat cheesecake on Saturday, and then it gets to be cheesecake time and you can decide if you really want it. So what you've done is taking your food decisions and made them very intentional. And that's perfect. That's exactly what you want to do. Did you answer the vacation question? I did not. I missed it. Beth, I'm going on a 2-week vacation tomorrow. Oh, jealous. What advice do you have other than the 4 basics? I won't be able to weigh in, but it would at least like to maintain. I'm very nervous. Okay. This is a great question. Other than the 4 basics, I say do the 4 basics. When you do your plan, if you can plan your meals ahead of time, that's great. But remember, you take your hunger scale with you everywhere you go. It always works. You always pay attention to it. And you can always make your good, better, best choices. And for those of you who don't know what good, better, best is, it's basically taking what you would normally eat, let's say a cheeseburger might be a good choice. A better choice might be the cheeseburger without the bun. The best choice might be just the plain, lean hamburger with a tomato on the top. No cheese, no bun. Okay? So you can always up-level your choices. You can always take on vacation with you the mindset that you're going to make the best choice you can. that you're going to plan exceptions to your normal protocol, that you're going to always use your hunger scale, that you're going to push your water, that you're going to get your rest. So there's your basics. You just decide ahead of time that you're going to continue to follow them. And the other big key thing for you is if you, you know, like a beer or a drink or something, always plan those in advance. Okay. Always, always use the decision-making planning part of your brain when it comes to your booze and your alcohol. That way you're not reacting. You're not sitting there going, well, everybody else is drinking, I'm going to drink too. You know, you're not in FOMO. You have planned. You've planned your drinks ahead of time. And I would plan the number of them. You know, say, I'm going to plan 2 drinks every day. Or I'm not going to plan any drinks today, but I'll plan them tomorrow. So just stick with those basics and you'll be fine, especially the hunger scale. All right. Any more questions? I'm waiting to see if there are any more questions. I'm going to scroll down here, see if there's anything else you guys are saying. Ooh, Jill had an aha moment. That's awesome. I'm glad Jill had an aha moment. Okay. I don't see any more questions, you guys. If you have anything else, go ahead and pop it in. I'd really like to know where Beth's going for 2 weeks. I'm trying to plan vacation this year. I haven't decided where I want to go yet. So probably overthinking it. That's something I'm good at. All right, you guys. Oh, Betsy's typing. Let's see if she's got anything else. Betsy's going to change a diaper. She's babysitting today. Thanks for your help, Betsy. I guess if there's nothing else here, you all, I'm going to sign off and wish you a great day. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.